Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.
Hello, and welcome back to Luke Up, my podcast series talking all about the new Superman movie and just life in general now that this film is out. And today I'm joined by a fantastic artist, Howie Knoll. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm honored. I'm honored because for months now I have adored seeing you pop up on my timelines, seeing it many, many different times when people share your delightful artwork with the masses. And I'm looking forward to learning more about that today and about your artwork and about the man behind the screen, as it were. So Howie, please, if you could share your origin story with everyone.
Well, I grew up, I was born in New York, but my family moved me to Pennsylvania where I grew up. My dad was a traveling salesman. So he'd work in the city and then he'd come home and on the weekend. So the weekends were very special. We'd read newspaper comic strips together and I would draw them and then show them to him. And it was like the best audience. You learn later in life, not everybody reacts like that. Like he was the best audience. So it was just always encouraging. And my mom was an artist, so art was always encouraged. I was very lucky with that. I had good teachers and kindergarten through grade school and high school. And then I went in college. I went to Pratt Institute, which is in Brooklyn, New York, and I got to focus on art. So it was like a boot camp for art. I would commute from Queens to Brooklyn, which is an insane commute if you're a student. And I'd sometimes have to bring big paintings on the subway for the hour and a half or 2 hour subway ride each way. And that really, you showed you wanted it. And
yes.
I'm a freelance illustrator. And when my dad, a couple years ago, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And the way I got through it was, and he sadly passed away, but the way I got through it was to go back to childhood and we were looking at the newspaper strips and I was drawing Dick Tracy again. And it became an art project because I have another personal Instagram of Howie Knoll, but I was doing so many Dick Tracy things. People were liking them. I decided to start one with Dick Tracy Rogues Gallery.
Yes.
And that way I would show them. And the original idea was like a art gallery show. That was the initial, that's what it was going to be. But it was very hard to get going. And I was like, this is the art gallery though. Everybody can go to this art gallery because it's there. You know, one day I do want to do one where you could go to it and see, but also, Rogues Gallery fits in with many things. With the superheroes, they all have Rogues Gallery. But I got to be a guest artist on the official newspaper comic strip for Dick Tracy. And that was, I got my hometown paper on the front cover, which was very kind of them, the South Williamsport. My hometown is the Williamsport Sun-Gazette. And I drew my dad with Dick Tracy. So that was, I mean, that's as special I get. That was the paper we read together. And since then, I got a lot of requests over the years to draw Batman, like a lot. I was very stringent in the beginning with, this is just Dick Tracy. And people wanted to see Batman, and it's just, if you're going to ignore requests, and Batman 89 was, people really like when I draw Michael Keaton's Batman and the Joker or Jack Nicholson. And then when the Superman, because I love James Gunn, and I love all his movies, and when the teaser, I was like, I'm going to draw something. Because I can be quick because I'm also a professional caricaturist. So I do parties. I can draw you in 5 minutes, stuff like that. Yeah. So, and you got to because people want to go party. But yeah. I was like, I'm going to be real quick with this. I'm going to try to, if I can't be, because there's so many artists that do fan art. There's so many talented people. Just, I know that I had the opportunity that day. I freed the day. I was going to do this. I watched the teaser trailer. I originally was doing the scene where he saved the girl.
Okay.
With all the glass. And
yes.
I quickly realized this was not going to get done in time.
So that
was the first
one
I started. So then I went with him in Crypto because I love Crypto. And that's what I did. And then that got to James Gunn and he shared it, which is unbelievable. He shared it, like commented on it. He reposted it. He shared it on Threads and Instagram, which is insane. And then the official WB account, the official Superman account, they commented on Twitter. So it was like those three platforms, you know, and it went on Facebook, which is awesome. And so that's encouraging because, you know, you like my version of it, of what you made. And that's like, that's what I like. I love that. I love that just my cartoon interpretation or just a version that makes them happy. And I've been keeping it up going, and I've gotten a lot of people from the movie so far, which is awesome. People that worked on it, the stunt coordinator for the scene, he contacted me for a print because that's his daughter in the scene where he saves, Superman saves the girl. So that was one of the first. I sent him a print, and then Polar X, Jason Roberts at Polar X, they filmed the Fortress of Solitude scenes. They helped film the Fortress of Solitude scenes, and I sent them a print, and then they took it there. They took it to where, to put it where David is, you know, where Superman lays. So that was just mind blowing. And I've gotten very, very nice comments, including people who worked on the movie. And it's just mind blowing, like, that people who actually made the stuff saw it and liked it. That's the best.
It is. It must be so. I mean, I'm sure your notifications absolutely just blew up that day when James Gunn shared the first one. But it's almost like going back to, as you said, your commute going off to school. You're on the subway there with these big canvases. Technically, that's like social media. That's people looking at your artwork. You're just doing this in a bit more of a more global way. But for
it's
James,
better.
Much better.
It's better
much
than the
better.
Subway.
Probably a lot safer as well sometimes, but
yeah,
James Gunn.
It was all right. It was early in the morning, and nobody. What
that's
are you going
right.
to do with a
yes,
big painting? Yeah.
But for James, and you say for members of the cast and crew to share that, it's, you know, that's recognition for your hard work and your skill. Because I love seeing your artwork pop up, something new that I can instantly just recognize. That's that part from the scene, or I hope he does this part next. It's fantastic marketing for the film, because we know that because everyone shared it. I also saw recently that it was at IMAX. Was that right? Some of your artwork? Was that?
Yeah, I never do fan contests usually, just because, you know, as a professional artist, you do paying work. You know, a lot of this is just passion work to get people to like it, or maybe you'd hire, you know, and I've gotten things that way. I've gotten jobs because of this, because people, I've gotten to do, you know, rock star posters because of this art, people seeing it, and people are going to relate to what they know. A lot of the times what I learn, because I'll do original stuff. I have my comic strip Clue, which I work on. It's just, it's very relatable to people, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's something they see. But yeah, I have a goal set out to be like, almost make a comic. Remember those comics they used to make of the movies? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was going through my some of my memorabilia recently, sort of when they released a sort of just a sort of a one-off comic or something short and sweet, just to sort of help build excitement for the film.
Yeah, and I love the Jerry Ordway drawn one with for Batman 89. So that was always a big influence on me. I loved Mad Magazine's like parodies of the movies. Like those were like, I didn't understand why didn't every comic look like the Mad Magazine by Mort Drucker. I was like, this is where they should be. But I've done a couple short comic strips of Superman and James Gunn, like those, you know, too, and shared them, that it was cool to show, because I feel his is very like a comic book. I felt it was very much like a comic book, and that because he understands the art, and he respects the art form. And I love all the fantastical stuff, and I want to kind of make it a collection. It's almost going to be a comic book. So we'll see. We'll see how far along I can get. Of course, when it comes to Blu-ray, it'll be easier, right?
Yes, because I mean, I'm sure the film's out now. It's been out for a few days. Have you got a scene in mind that you've not created yet that you would like to put your twist on?
Yeah, definitely the squirrel. How he's saving a squirrel will come up. It's going to be probably this week. Definitely.
Fantastic.
With him with the squirrel. And there's a bunch. I was actually cool to watch it. And I was like, I've drawn a lot of these scenes. Because they're, you know, it's neat to be like, oh, because we're looking for more, and there's a ton. I have the whole opening almost done, to the point where he's being brought to the fortress by Crypto. So I think soon I got to do all the robots and stuff. I have a little bit of that, but yeah, we will have to release that soon.
We need more Gary in the world. Gary was such a fantastic character. So anytime you can make more number four robot, I'm happy with that. I mean, but if you've created so much artwork, I mean, could you put all these together? It makes almost like a stop animation out of all your creations, Noel.
Yeah, it's fun. You could, especially with the Batman 89, because I've done so many Batman 89s, because that was my kind of a lot of people followed for that. And so almost every week you get a Batman 89. It's just, it's crazy. You can basically have a storybook of the whole movie almost by now. Cause I always like to go, what would you like to see? I always ask a question in the post. What would you like to see next? Or who's your favorite? What's your favorite scene? To kind of help me. And so we're getting there. I get to say, I have that one go on my gallery.
So good. The work's already done. I haven't got to do anything else now.
Yeah.
What's been your favorite piece so far that you haven't shared?
That I haven't shared? I believe I've put all the Superman out. So for Superman, they've all been shown. I think maybe the one that got shown not on Instagram, like first, sometimes I'll do that. Like I made the mistake of making two new ones and then the second one doesn't get seen as much. And that's like, so it's the, but that one got seen by, I believe it's James Gunn's photography director or special effects supervisor. I'll have to look that up, but he liked the one of the yellow sun, the healing in the yellow sun.
Yes.
So one that I wish. Sometimes I wish, I would have put that first. It's just a little thing. It's like one of those things with social media. Because I posted it separately on Threads and it got seen. You know, I don't know if everybody flips through. I hope they do.
I hope so too. And there will be links below to all your social medias in case you decide to share one thing somewhere and one thing not somewhere else. Because I, for sure, don't want to miss anything that you're putting out. Seeing your particular art style be so vibrant and joyful and like classic comic artwork, it's something that I hope one day to have a canvas of on my wall somewhere. They are that vibrant and striking. And it's obvious to see why James Gunn liked it, because it is comic art. It's a homage to his creation, and in the same way, it's an homage to Superman. Now, you've been creating art for many years now, and you've clearly gotten very well at your craft. What do you think Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster would think almost a century later that their character, their creation is still being such a huge inspiration to artists and fans around the world?
I think that's the best gift, to see that something they created as kids now inspires also kids and grown-up kids like us. I mean, they created something that helps you get through tough days. You think of him, or he's just, if you think of Superman, it makes you happy. I think kids want to draw him still. The fact, and I put a lot of Shuster inspiration into my stuff. Always, I love his art style. I love how he draws Superman. I always put a little bit of that. So David looks a lot like Superman. I mean, obviously he is Superman, but it is crazy how much he looks like Superman. And you can see, when drawing him, I try to do him in a style that is almost 30s. Some people see 50s, like, and Silver Age with Kurt Swan. And I try to just try to give a little Shuster in there in his eyes, which he already has. It's neat. It's neat to keep that going, because I think you should always reference Shuster in Superman art, because he's the one that started it. To me, that's the ultimate how he looks. That's Superman, how he drew him. So I think it would be the biggest honor for them to see it's still continuing. He's still getting a brand new movie that's done in the right spirit. And I think it's wonderful. Everybody knows the symbol too. Everybody knows that. Even if they don't read comics, they know that.
It's like sort of a Coca-Cola or KFC. It's that logo that's known around the world. I can sort of, if I'm in a new place, I can sniff out that symbol. I know where the Superman merchandise is.
Yeah.
It's there just waiting for me to be grabbed. But the colors that you use and the lighting in your artwork, it really, even on a phone, it grabs your eye. And I can't wait for the day. I mean, I know I've got my eye on a few prints that I want here. It's that it grabs your attention. When do you know that sort of you've completed a piece of ink? Right, that's it. That doesn't need any more work. When do you get that moment of completion?
You want, one thing I was taught in art school is you want to, there is no perfect piece you've done. So don't ever say this piece is perfect, because that mentally will, I guess you're done. Like no matter what, you'll always feel, well, that's the best I've done. And I don't know if it's Scorsese or I don't know who said this, but it's like a film, it's not done, it's a kind of abandoned. You just want, you can say you're done. That's why due dates help a lot. That's why I always ask a client, what's your due date? When's this due? That helps. That's done. That, you know, because you could always want to go back and get, like, there'll be things that I post and I went, not necessarily misspellings or something, but I'll be like, oh, I would change that. I'm my worst critic. So that's what helps with critics, that nothing can compare to the torture I put myself through. You feel like it's good. I do allow myself a bit of accomplishment with each piece, but then I'll also, I overthink things too much and critique myself. But you just know when it's ready, and then you post it up. It's fun. The posting helps me keep making stuff too. The fact that I'm lucky to have people that like my art and want to see it. Well, that gets me making more art. It helps keep you prolific. And there's a sense of, there it is, you know, there, that's because you don't want to overdo it. To me, I like a bit of simplicity in things. I like holding on to that simplicity, and I can overdo it, like too much shadow, too much line work. To me, doesn't work with what I do. So it's like an ingrained thing where you know too much, and then you put it up and you go, oh, I would have done that. Is that okay? I always ask my wife and friends. Sometimes if I'm nervous about a piece, I'll send it to a couple friends. I text them early. It's this obsession that is what I have.
I mean, I like that. And I mean, of course, you need to be critical of your work. Otherwise, how else are you going to improve? But that one piece that James did initially share, did you feel that I could have made that better, or if I had done this, it could have been a bit more popular?
No. Good. That one clicked.
Yeah, it did. It hit every mark.
I didn't know it would get to him, and I didn't know he'd be able to see. He's been amazing about seeing fan art, and I read that he knows how much it means to acknowledge, and that's really what you want to see, you know, an acknowledgement is... Can't ask for anything more than that.
No, especially from James Gunn. I mean, that's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah, I mean, so, he made it. Yeah, it's what he was thinking of from the beginning. And for the fact that he liked my cartoon version of it is awesome. And then he's seen the other and showing the comics. And you know, he's probably like, man, he's drawing a lot. Maybe he's like, I've seen this guy a lot.
Hopefully he's like, I need this guy to do the storyboard for the sequel. Let's get him on board. That's maybe it. For, James, you know, if you're listening, come on. Yes.
Yeah, I was too late for movie ones, but you can fill me in on anything.
There's already been teasers.
Merchandise. I love, the merchandise art put me in.
Let's talk about that. I mean,
one tiny t-shirt.
That's it. That's the thing. I'm sure there's lots of legal issues when it comes to artwork, when it's DC property or Warner Brothers property, mm-hmm. but that is just something that I would love on the t-shirt. Going back to talking about how James Gunn's passion for art, I was fortunate enough a few weeks back when they were touring for their promo tour, I saw three separate Q&As with James Gunn, and none of his answers were repeated. All I got from him was just so much passion for the character, passion for storytelling, and almost want and need to make sure that the people that watch this film enjoy it on a personal level. How did you feel when after working on all this fantastic artwork and enjoying the trailers, probably you would have, looked to the trailers a little bit more closely than others to get ideas for your artwork. What was it like for you to finally sit down and watch that film in its entirety?
It was wonderful. I got to go to the Amazon screening early because I knew I'm on too much. I'm on, online looking for stuff and looking for sneak peeks. I did not want to get spoiled. I didn't want to get spoiled, so the Amazon screening was like my best bet because I'm seeing it early. And they had that crazy surround sound where I was, so you really felt the rumbles of everything. And it was just really wonderful to see it all come together and to see just how pieces went together. Because I had my, as you do when you watch trailers, you're like wondering how the story, that's how I think, because I write too, and I was wondering how the story is going to play out. And I loved how it's surprising how things turn out. It wasn't the trailers, they lead you to what's happening, but it's not the full story at all.
So, I mean, by now, people, I hope, have all seen the film and are not watching this podcast until they have watched the film, because yes. We could easily talk about spoilers just by mistake. But that one first image that they released was Superman in his chair taking his boots off or putting his boots on. That completely threw me when I saw that scene for the first time. That was genius.
I didn't understand either.
It was just a little bit of a...
Because he looked sad. I didn't understand. And he looked depressed. And there's a thing in the background.
Yes.
And once you see the movie, it makes sense in context. But yeah, as the first image, I was like, what is going... What is, like, now I get it. I didn't understand. I thought it would him flying or something.
And a sort of... Mixie is one of my sort of favorite sub-characters in the world of Superman. And to have just a reference of that devilish little imp in the film was enough for me to just think, James Gunn gets it. This is fantastic. It was like a warm hug for me. But
that scene is one of my favorites.
It was so...
I love how it's just happening, and it really shows you that world's already happening.
Yes.
That world's... It's already going on, and he doesn't need to help with that. Because people were like, when you see the thing, is he not caring that the world's being destroyed? Because you read a lot into a still image.
You said
I know
he
people
can.
Do. I mean, people read into a little comic strip. They read. I drew like a group of Superman for Superman Day. I just drew what I could because I have a limited time to get that. Sometimes I'll do these the day of. So I drew what I could. I didn't get the one film actor that was in the first serial. I haven't seen him. I just didn't.
Okay.
Somebody said, I'm just curious why you didn't include him. Why was he like, it wasn't a personal affront.
It's always going to be the case. Why didn't you include this person that was on the Superman Broadway musical?
Yeah,
for
I didn't
2 weeks.
Include, I, and it, I'm not the end all be all. It's just, in my opinion, art because I'm a fan. And I didn't include the animated guy. I was like, well, it's all cartoon. I didn't include this.
Yeah. And there's so
I'm
many
sorry
different.
To everybody.
I mean, he's been around for almost a century. There's been so many different interpretations in radio, TV, books, and comics and cartoons. It's hard to include everyone.
Yeah, and mine isn't meant to be like everyone. It was just a little Superman Day thing. But so I know how people can read in and interpretations because that's the fun of looking at it. And we were all like thirsty at that point. So we're all reading in as he's going to be a depressed Superman. Because he looked sad. Now you understand why he was sad at that point.
And it's very, and I'm sure James Gunn had that in his head. He was like, what image do I share first? Is it going to be this fantastic image of Superman standing in the doorway of the Fortress of Solitude? Or this very misleading photograph where he looks a bit sad? I was like, you're a sneaky man, Mr. Gunn. You're a very sneaky man.
The doorway shot's beautiful.
When that came out, and everyone was like, why didn't they use that one first? Yeah. That's the one they should have used. But looking back now at the marketing for this film, how it was very, very minimal at first, and then bang, everything just hit all of a sudden. It was a great to see how that just sort of evolved over the upcoming months. What was it like for you as an artist, constantly getting new images to work with every other day?
Oh, it's great. It's great that this movie is so visually inspiring. Like it's wonderful because there's lots of things. And then there's the in-between moments, things you don't see that I can also draw, which are fun, things you wish you would have seen, you know, stuff like that. Like, because there's alternate shots and everything. Yes. So now you know, who knows what you can do with your imagination. They had just specific visual moments and lighting and stuff that I tried to capture that really spoke to me. And also when he mentioned Fleischer, Max Fleischer, I love Max Fleischer. And that's how you get Batman, the animated series and everything. That's how you get that influence. And that also fits in with Dick Tracy. So it's a perfect time period for me. That I understand visually. And on some of the pieces, especially the healing rays of the yellow sun when he's in the fortress, I put a lot of Max Fleischer in that, and the group shot where it's him and the Justice Gang, that's a Matt Fleischer background. And so there's little things without absolutely doing a Max Fleischer, but getting kind of feel. Yeah. I want a little feeling, not just completely doing it. Just a little feeling. Yeah. Because some people are like, when I do the Dick Tracy thing, it's me doing it. So it's not just like Dick Tracy, like it's my version of it.
Well, that's it. You're putting your artistic spin on it. You want your art to be your own, just the same as James Gunn wants to be his directing to be his own. But it works. Each time you share something new, I'm there trying to pinch and zoom as much as I possibly can to spot every single strand of fur on Crypto's head and thinking, yes,
I'm glad. I'm glad. I do zoom in. I do zoom in up big time to draw now, now with the eyes changing over time. So I'm glad you're looking for those details.
I am, sir. I am. I do love some art. And it's already been announced that a few sort of art books for this film will be coming out this year, which I can't wait for. But what I really want to see, I think it must have been over a year ago now, James Gunn shared a photograph of pretty much his film ideas and sketches and storyboards that are just in boxes somewhere. I'm like, please, please release that artwork. I want to see how that brain works.
Yeah.
But for me,
he can draw too. He's also
he has, that's it.
So I'd love to see like what he puts together.
Let's get
his
you on
sketches.
Board.
I hope maybe they'll be in the book. Maybe they'll.
I hope so. But if not, let's get you in that sequel. Yeah. I want to see your name on the credits for the next time I've seen this film. So far, I've seen the film, I'm going to say 5 1/4 times. Because a few weeks back, I got to watch, it was a fantastic fan event. We got to watch the first 30 minutes. And it was a few scenes, well, it was the first 3 scenes, but some parts were chopped out for timing. Each time I go back now, I'm trying to look for new things, but my eyes are getting caught looking back at those things that I adored so much the first time round. Whether it be more of Crypto or more of Metropolis or more of those fine details in each and every scene. But I want more of the Hall of Justice.
Yeah.
So
how perfect
James,
is that?
It's even the fact that it's such a huge building, of course you're going to get some obnoxious echo coming out of everybody's voice because it's so empty. But James Gunn said how the film is so heavily filled with Easter eggs. There's a mural in that scene of all the metahumans. So if you look really closely, you can see a few. Nothing's been sort of confirmed yet. I'm trying to go back and get a closer look. But there's a huge mural, I think, in that train station all the time anyway. But he's recreated it with metahumans. And I'm like, please put that in the art book. I need to know who has been referenced, which niche villain has been recreated on a mural.
I bet you there's some huge Easter eggs. I didn't even think of that because I've only seen the movie twice, but I've seen the mural. I noticed it. I had no idea what's on it. But yeah, there's probably some big Easter eggs in there.
Yeah. So the second time I got to watch it was on beautiful IMAX screen. And as that moment came on, I was like, right, now we need to stop focusing on the dialogue and the fantastic Nathan Fillion. And I was trying to raise my neck up to look on this huge IMAX screen, trying to write down notes of who or what could be. But that's going to be the thing. It's when that Blu-ray gets released, people are going to be a fine-tooth comb, looking through all the little clues and the Easter eggs for you. So you mentioned a few parts of this film for you. What was the sort of a real moment when you thought, right, this is a real Superman movie?
It got me right away. I'll be honest. It got me right away just because of the anticipation I've been waiting. And I seeing David as the character, I feel like he's Superman. What's cool is the actors that play Superman, I've only met two. I met Brandon Routh and I met Tom Welling. They're
not
like
bad
Superman
choices.
When you meet them. They not know.
Bad, that, yeah, they know the.
They're
they
good
know
them. People. They're really good people. And I don't, because I made art for Tom and gave it to him, and he was so awesome to me. And he actually signed. I made another one that has Kristen in it, and he signed it too. Like he just was like, "Well, she signed it," so, and that was like real nice. And I said, "I've got the photo shoot," and he's like, "I'll meet you there. I'll be there, buddy." And it was like the show. I was like, I'm on Smallville. It was like being on Smallville.
I think when these people that have, you know, they've worn the cape, as it were, they have an understanding of the character, but also an understanding of the fandom. And when you get moments like that saying, oh, hi, I remember you from yesterday. Thanks for coming back. And
yeah, that's a big deal.
Being at the photo op, it's magic. Yeah. I've seen Brandon once. I've met him. I went to America for the Superman celebration back in 2018.
Very
and
cool.
It was amazing. That was like, for me, it was like a, it was meant to be. It was a big trip to go off and just celebrate this hero that I've adored for so long. And Brandon was there for it. And I was so nervous on the day of meeting him. I was like, what do I say? Am I going to say the wrong thing? I've only got a few minutes with him. What do I get signed? I'm going to trip up over my words. And I was in the queue, very, very nervous. And as I was getting closer, I could see that there were two people with him. And it was his mum and dad. And they were sort of looking after him. And there was a moment where he had sort of long, shaggy hair. And his mum came out and pushed the hair out of his face. And I was like, that's Ma Kent. I'm actually meeting Superman and Ma and Pa Kent. And we had a great little chat. And as you said, it's when these people, you meet them and they have charm and they understand what these characters mean to people. It makes it more impactful. So I'm glad that you've had that moment with Tom and Brandon. But there's plenty more Superman out there for you to see. And I'm sure
now that I've met two, I've broken the ice, as it were.
There's a few out there. You got to collect the whole set. It's like Pokemon.
Yeah, and I noticed with Dave, when you hear him talk, it's that beginning is perfect because it's first of all, you haven't seen a beginning like that yet in a Superman movie. There hasn't been anything where he's Superman. Right away, Superman. Like, you got Batman in Batman 89, right away he's Batman. There's no, it was later on, you saw a bit of origin, but he's Superman, you're right in it. It was so cool, and right away it had me, and plus I'm a dog. I'm a dog dad, so Crypto, I see a little bit. Luckily not all Crypto in my pugs, but I see a little. As a dog owner, you will see little things.
That's it.
I know James calls Ozu a bad dog, but I'm sure eating a laptop's really bad, that I've heard, but there's a little bit of that in every dog.
But it's great to see that, how those moments in the film where dog owners can relate, and how the story of how Crypto came to be, when James got Ozu and he thought, well, if this dog is so misbehaved and it hasn't got superpowers, how would Superman react with Crypto? And we see that so much in the film, and it was just done perfectly. But you get those moments where Crypto does listen a little bit, and you sort of see him be a bit more obedient, but then just goes off and then just starts absolutely wailing on Lex Luthor. But it's those things that people as dog owners can relate to, or pet owners, or even parents. James Gunn knows how to get audiences on board. And I'm so glad with that, because the feedback that this first film for the future of DC and Superman has had, I mean, right now, I think, well, yesterday it was 220 million mark. So it's already sort of, exceeding expectations. But I want it to, of course, keep on going. How do you feel the future of Superman and DC Comics looks right now?
It's very exciting. I want to see another I want to see David, in another movie. Against another, Superman bad guy that we haven't gotten a chance to see in the big screen. I really like Brainiac, so I would love to see him face Brainiac.
When we first got that initial image, Brainiac. I thought that was, are we going to get Brainiac?
But yeah, the thing is,
are we going to get Brainiac?
I was worried. I didn't know that was the imp. I was worried in the sky. I was like, is that a reference? Because I know Allstar Superman. I was like, oh, we're not going to don't let him go to the sun like Allstar Superman already. I love Allstar Superman, but it is like, the point is he's dying. And I was like, how much of an influence? Because I don't want it to
It's like at the end. I mean, have you read the new Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow?
Not yet. I have it on order. I haven't read it yet. I have the first issue, but I didn't even crack it open. I got the first issue on eBay.
Okay, I'm not going to say a thing, but I want us to talk once you've read it. Okay. I read it again last week. There's a few things that we need to discuss. But yeah, okay. I thought maybe that's Brainiac, but no, it wasn't. It was in fact Mixus Pytlick. But I'm thinking a few fan theories that I've had in my head was, one of the things that some people didn't like was the changing of the fact that Superman was sent to Earth to take over and almost make the Krypton. Yes. It's been touched on in comics in the past.
And Smallville did a bit in the beginning and they toned him down. Jor-El, they did. A little bit was...
it was there.
They made him antagonistic to make Pa Kent more, though. And here's a personal thing about that. I've seen discussion, and I'm very much old school where I like Jor-El being... I love the Marlon Brando Jor-El a lot. Like, I used to quote that to my one pug that passed away. He would do a trick for it. The Kal-El, my only son. He would start barking, and that's how he got a treat. I would do that line. And we have a video of it somewhere. If I can find, I think it's on my wife's YouTube. I'll send it to you, of him, me imitating Brando to him. But that would get him.
Were you crazy. Were you reading off a nappy as well? Like,
no, Brando, I know the line. I did the Kal-El, my only son.
Good. They're man.
Good people, Kal-El. They only lack the light to show them the way. And that's when he would bark and flip out. But I love, with movies, they're going to do something. It's like how Jack Nicholson's Joker, Jack Napier, killed Batman's parents. People flipped out about that. And then they change it in another film that it's there's stuff like that that's going to be, I don't think it's lore breaking because his parents are the one here that raise him right. It would be like Red Son, if he lands in a different era and he lands in a different place, they could raise him to want to destroy us all. But he, yeah, I see fans thing, but I just feel like we haven't seen their Krypton. We haven't seen what they're like. So I mean, if they're like that, imagine what Zod's like.
Yes.
Zod must be even worse. The mom is the one that said, you should wipe out everybody that goes against you. The mom is harsh, but...
But I mean, things can change. We don't know everything just yet.
I wanted it to be fake because you can still, your parents guided him and he would still, I wanted it to be fake. But they were really like, it's not fake.
They were.
No.
But it's not fake. But the only people that know that it's not fake are Lex's crew and the scientists behind
which are all,
they're very clever. Are they as clever as Brainiac?
Yeah, that's true. It could be later revealed that. Absolutely. And so and you could find more messages where they're like, maybe that was a mistake. About that earlier message.
Go to Earth and be a good boy. Get a dog.
Yeah.
Sort yourself out. Get a wife.
We didn't just mean one. That whole dominate. Just one. And the harem. Forget the harem.
Just get one wife, please.
Yeah, one. We decided. But my wife, who is adopted, really loved how the message was the adoptive parents raised it, and that connected with her more than it would somebody that's not adopted or somebody that doesn't have that experience. She really loved that message because he's an adopted child, and I loved the quote by Pa Kent, and then I can't beat that ending of Bring It All Around, and you see why he did that. You see why James did that in his story. That was his story.
I've got the goosebumps coming back talking about that scene. So
because that's the message. Those are the message from the parents, and you're like, you think you're going to see that again? No, it's his Ma and Pa Kent that
moment when good old Gary comes back, says that same line, but it's actually the other way around. Yeah, so this was, I mean, I love Daily Planet merchandise. I can't get enough of it because there's not much. So this is my Geek of Steel Daily Planet journal I've got dreadful, dreadful handwriting. So my girlfriend got her best fountain pen, and she wrote that quote in the front of the book because that choices quote, this film is all about choices. It is about making bad choices and good choices and choices for others. And the fact that, yes, even though we did get that message from his biological parents, in that moment, Clark and Superman being the same person chose his adoptive parents as the ones that raised him, that gave him his morals, that gave him good judgment. And that scene at the end is the one that seems to be resonating with the public. That moment where he's sitting back and he's watching the home footage in that chair.
That hits you. That hits you because then you remember your parents and you remember all the stuff, you know, and you could see him as a kid then and you see an origin then.
That's
him growing up. And I feel like it's a cool twist to me, but I've watched Smallville and there's a little bit of that. They kind of walk it back in Smallville, but there's a little bit of that. They have it in Birthright where it's told to be a lie. This is a new universe. So it's just a new start. Like I'm a Batman 80, Joker killing his parents. It flipped out some hardcore fans. Oh, they did not like that. And to me, it was like, it's just a choice in this one, you know, and it feels like they added it kind of, I don't know, a little late because they're confronting each other at the end. And Jack's like, I was a kid when I killed your brother. I'm like, does he know he's Bruce Wayne now? Like, how does he know?
It's all links back together.
Yeah, talking about back Batman. Then you were just enjoying the movie. I've never seen a movie picked apart so much in my life as a Superman. I mean,
it's great because Superman's always wild. He's being talked about, and I love that. Superman's my favorite thing to talk about, but also listen to conversations because I think,
there's a lot.
That's what you thought? Interesting take. Let's see if we can work on that and find out more. And that's what I like right now is the fact that positive debates and conversations are happening. There's not as much
talking about the movie. It's so refreshing.
Yes,
we're debating the movie.
Yes.
Not other stuff or,
stuff from before. I mean, yes. Other films and comics are going to sort of be brought up in conversation, but they're not saying, oh, well, this isn't this isn't Superman 78, or this isn't Man of Steel, or this isn't Returns. It's its own thing.
They're talking about this movie and story, and people are discussing movies about characters. It's nice. That's it. It's refreshing. I find it refreshing when
it's so refreshing, and it's it's quite surreal for me as well. This isn't, I've mentioned this before, look, this isn't my first Superman movie rodeo. I've seen films come and go. I've seen marketing done well, but slipped in other areas. Right now for this film, I understand now what the Batmania of 1989 now was like, because I'm seeing this firsthand. I've never seen... I saw my first Superman poster a few months back, and then it's just didn't stop this absolute, its own sort of monster behind the scenes of the marketing. And it's been fantastic and brilliant. But I've never seen anything like it. And for me, it's like, wow, this is my hero in the spotlight. Yeah. Please don't mess up. Let's get this
remember
right.
Remember when people said there wasn't enough?
Yeah, and then like, remember? Stop, there's too
Why
much.
Why did they do a Super Bowl ad? Remember, they were like, there's not enough.
That was it. I can remember. I did stay up quite late that night, just in the hopes of seeing something. I think there was one fresh clip of
Crypto. Yeah, I watched the Puppy Bowl.
That was it. There was a bit of Crypto just jumping across the screen.
Like, yes.
That was worth it, but... was it worth losing that sleep for? It still was, because it's Crypto and I love him. But yeah, the marketing was just absolutely loopy. But when people said, I've seen all the footage now, all the trailers gave it all away. It really didn't. When I saw it for the first time, it didn't even scratch the
surface. There are
movies
like that. Yeah. Yeah, there are movies that give away whole plots and you see a twist and you're like, I just watched the whole movie. They didn't. No, you're right.
But... I mean, I said, so I've seen it a few times now. I'm going to be seeing it a few times more. I've not seen it in 3D yet. And I'm also, you can see it in 4DX, where the chair shakes and you get water thrown in your face and goodness knows what else. But I get shot
by a dog.
I hope not. Crypto's teeth look quite menacing when they're chomping away at Lex's forearm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how Lex survived. We're lucky.
I mean, he did hold back a little bit when Superman did start shouting at him to put him down, put him down. It was similar
listened,
of that.
He listened eventually.
He did.
Crypto grew.
But seeing when we finally see, spoiler alert, Supergirl at the end and how Crypto reacts there, because that's a big part of the Woman of Tomorrow story. And then you go back to the beginning where it said, oh, you've got a dog? And he said, not really. It's more of a fostering situation because it's Supergirl's dog in the book. Yeah. It was moments like that where there were lots of nods to the comics, but also nods to the fans as well. It certainly is a film that keeps on giving. What artwork are you looking forward to creating in the future, Howie, when it comes to the world of DC Comics?
I wanna do more with Green Lantern and Mr. Terrific. Mr. Terrific, I think he's a show stealer.
Yes.
I really do. I think he's that whole every line he had was amazing to me. I wanna do more of them. I'm looking forward to Clayface. I don't know what that's gonna be like. I'm excited to see. It's exciting because there's gonna be different genre films and yet they'll be united. That's exciting. Because I love Clayface, and I love horror movies too. So it'll be exciting to see like a DC horror movie that's on purpose where it's not separate. Because the Joker movie was not horror, but like straight up drama. But it was still separate. Like he didn't connect to Robert Pattinson, even though I think a lot of us wanted him to kind of be connected the first movie.
And then
you could tell in the second it's not going to be connected. I'm really excited for that, and Supergirl and Lobo. It's gonna be insane to see him play what he was seemed to be born to play. Lobo. I mean,
I was at an event a couple of years back for Aquaman 2, and Jason was there. Loving life, he is that way. Even if there's no cameras around, he's like the king of the room, just dominating every conversation. And we were all trying to get information out of him. He had his agent and his publicist and his manager there sort of thing saying, don't say this about that and don't say this. And we were like, why aren't you playing Lobo and anything? And he was like, not going to say anything. I'm not going to talk. Agent over there, publicist over there. But when that news was announced, people were just like, it's clear. He has to be Lobo.
Perfect. Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be a very fun part of it. But there's so many more elements of the world of DC that we've not had yet. I'm looking forward to you taking on as many characters as possible. What hero or villain or side character that hasn't been really represented would you like to see in a James Gunn movie?
Oh, man. I really, like I said, Brainiac, definitely. He likes Batmite, and they've mentioned Batmite before. He likes Batmite, because Peacemaker mentioned that before. So I definitely want to see that. Mr. Mixaplick, I mean...
There's a like World's Finest. They brought out a few books called The World's Funniest with those two interacting with each other. It was like, that's for me, that's the zany side of Superman and Batman that just works so well together. So yeah,
we can see get Batman. It now.
Yes, yeah. We can. We could.
Yeah.
There's so much more like, possibility.
They just did the Riddler and the Batman, so I'm not sure we're going to get a Riddler again, because I love, I want a Poison Ivy. Like, I think you could do a lot with her, especially with, people. You could an extreme environmentalist. I mean, who all cares about plants more than people? I mean, and full powers and stuff, and that would be exciting. A new Poison Ivy, and I want to see more Metamorpho too.
Wow,
I would like. Yeah. I mean, he was perfect.
Seeing those scenes on the big screen again, I almost wanted to yell at the projectionist to pause the film because I wanted to see the details on that multi-textured skin. I thought it's just perfectly done. I just think, how can this character be done on screen? There was quite a lot of doubt at first, and I thought myself, how can they recreate that in a cinematic form? And James and the makeup crew and the visual department did such a fantastic job.
He looked perfect, and then when he's just a head floating around. That's how he is in the comics. He's just a head floating around with the squiggles.
And he had the nerve to say that Superman was so weird because he had a furry.
I know. He kept being upset. Why do you look weird? You're weird looking. He was upset. he has no self-realization of
his current
state. He thought Superman looked really weird. But I thought the actor did a great job. And what's fun is it's James like version, but they look like the original, so it's like a combination. You get a twist on it, but it's them at the core. And like Mr. Terrific looks just like Mr. Terrific. It's crazy.
But he's just got almost somehow more attitude than he has in the comics, which was just brilliant.
Yes,
those moments when sort of people are telling him what to do, and he's like, no, I'm Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, he's got more to do. Yes. And Guy Gardner, I just want to give a special thank you for keeping the hair, which some people were not aware of this hair, I guess. They changed his hair over time and tried to make it cool, but that's his hair.
Yeah, that's the thing.
His hair. And when in that Justice League, those original, that's his hair.
He has a bowl haircut. That's the whole thing about it.
Nathan Fillion's perfect. I was trying to get my in-laws to go because they don't go to movies a lot, but I was like, they love Castle. I told them Castle's in this kind of.
Kind of. It's a little bit different than he is on Castle, but only slightly.
Because they know him as Castle. They love
Castle. Let's get him in the cinema seats first before they're saying, hang on a minute, that's not the same attitude that I know from Nathan.
They're helping pay Nathan's royalty checks from Castle because it's on constantly at their house. It's every day's Castle.
Wow, I'm sure.
They would just play the cop shows. You know, those mystery shows? That's what's always going on in the kitchen. So
wow. I'm
trying to get him to go see Nathan Fillion, but he's not as nice as he is.
Yeah, don't get your hopes too high. But again,
they like him a lot.
But that's Guy. That is Guy Gardner. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the more feedback online was like, well, that doesn't look like a Green Lantern to me. I was like, it doesn't. But it looks like Guy Gardner. It sounds, looks, and acts like Guy Gardner.
He's straight off the comics, and I loved what he was making, and he made oven mitts.
Yeah, oven mitts, a big lock, giant middle fingers, a big megaphone. It was like, it's just all the things that bring it back to his ego and the fact that he's not as witty as he could be, but still perfect. Yeah. A man of the cloth, as it were, as you said.
Yeah, he was great with that. I'm excited to see him show up in Peacemaker and I guess Lanterns. Lanterns is going to be exciting.
Wow. Yeah. I'm curious
to what it's going to be like, you know, if it's going to be like a true detective Green Lantern show, it'll be interesting.
I hope so. With that as well, there are so many people that you could get in it. They've had some fantastic casts so far. But going back to the film that doesn't get talked about too much, Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern. Mark Strong in that was just fantastic.
He was dead on and he looked like him.
There's his love for that character and that world is fantastic.
Yeah.
I was in a very fortunate position where I got to speak to him after a Shazam event here in London. And there's a photograph that was taken by press of me just looking up at Mark Strong, just gazing into his eyes as he was talking to me about comics and why this happened and why this could happen in the future. And I was like, oh, please, let this film have a sequel and let Mark Strong come back to it. Because, again, there's so much depth to those characters and that world that that Lantern show could be just phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was that original Green Lantern movie is crazy because they put in with their, I mean, they put everything in. Maybe that was part of the issue.
Possibly.
It was everything. I mean, and then Taika Waititi's in it. Isn't that weird? Taika Waititi, he's in it like before he was known on a major scale. I saw that movie and it's just, we're going to get a different version, I'm guessing, that we got.
I think so. I think that was going to be much different.
I'm not a super hater of that movie. I wasn't a super hater. I like the Green Lantern ring. I can pick positive things.
I think I'll do that as well.
Was not happy.
No, and he's still not. But I mean, he's still getting the paychecks from it and recognition from it. And if it's still
he
making
said no
jokes
to
it for
coming
him,
back, that's I saw it. That James yeah. texted him right away. Do you want to?
Yeah.
He's like, no.
No,
he swore right. at him, but.
That's it. But that's the thing. There's so many different avenues that the world of comics could go down now. We've got over definitely nearly a century's worth of Superman stories. And then you've got the whole Batman universe. And again, of course, the Rogues Gallery to work with as well. There is so much there to look forward to in the future that I think now we do like to theorize and make our own sort of estimates of where the future may be. Sometimes we're going to hit it the nail on the head and get it spot on. It's fun when we get surprised, like we have done with James Gunn and certain scenes in the film. So yeah, as always, it's a fantastic time to be a Superman fan and a fan of comics because we don't always know what's coming around the corner. And that's what I like about comics, is not knowing how a story will end. Sir, thank you so much for your time today. It has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you not only for talking today, but for creating your artwork, for sharing it with the world, for putting it out there for everyone to see. And I'm so glad that more people are seeing it because of James Gunn and for fans of yours sharing your artwork. I'm sure over the upcoming months, you're going to be sharing a lot more, which I can't wait to see. But what
we'll
try else?
Every week, we'll get you some Superman there for you.
Yes. That's what I was waiting for. That's what I was waiting for, Howie. Thank you. But what can people expect to see from your multiple channels, sir?
So you can find me at Dick Tracy Rogues Gallery on Instagram. That's the big one because of the movie. He's given me a boost. And I have Clue at Clue Comics. So that's an original comic strip. So if you like detective stories, this is like a comic that could have came out back then, but didn't. And there's some modern twists. My website is hcnoel.com. So hcnoel.com, pretty easy. You can get prints there. You can order commissions if there's something you'd like to see me draw, like something that hasn't happened yet.
I've got a few ideas for you, Howie, that we'll mention soon. I've got a few.
Anything like that. I also do merch design, stuff like that. Like I said, music posters if you want. And then I'm on Twitter. I still call it Twitter. I don't care. At Twitter, hcnoel. And then on Threads, I guess it's Dick Tracy Rogues Gallery and Howie Noel. You can find me on Threads too. And there you go. Sweet. I mean, that's all I can handle right now. I have a Facebook too, which is how we can find
all these new sites that keep popping up. You've got to keep spreading the work out to each one. And there's not
I get asked about TikTok, but I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it.
Stick to what you know, and you're good at what you do, sir. So keep doing that.
I already stress out too much about Instagram and posting for everybody. And
when they added that feature where you could change spelling mistakes on Instagram, I was overjoyed. Over the years, I've done some posts that I've been really proud of, and they've gotten sort of quite a lot of traffic. Then I've noticed a spelling mistake that I can't go back and change.
Is that just the edit feature? Is there something I don't... Just the edit?
Just pretty much the edit feature. But now you can go in it now, and you can change who you are tagging, or you can change who you sort of collab with.
Oh.
There's lots more features now where...
I didn't even know.
See? If there's
I
anything
no edit photo thing, because if you have a misspelling in an art, it's way worse.
Anything like that, you can go back now and you can change sort of the title of the post and other things as well. So there we go. I should teach you some ways there, Howard.
Yes, I needed that. Oh, that is the pain. And then you're worried, like, does this affect the algorithm?
That's
right.
It.
Remember ever that rumor where they're like, don't change anything.
Don't change anything. I was speaking with a friend last week who's who's doing quite well on TikTok, and his method for doing quite well on TikTok is the fact that in his posts, he purposely misspells words so that people in the comments say, you've spelt that incorrectly. And it gets them to the front page. I'm thinking, it's genius. Not the best way to advertise your work by people knowing that you can't
you
spell
look like
thing.
You have no ability to spell, but...
That's it. But is there no... If there's a will, there's a way, as it were. But there
That's
will
what
be
a good
links.
Question will do, too. Just a little thing.
That's
you
it.
Know.
Get the people talking.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to talk about... That's what I learned right away. Let them talk. Like, if there's... Even if they're debating, especially with Superman, I just let people debate.
Yeah.
They have conversations on their own, and that, you know.
I've seen them.
Not my job to, yeah, it's not my job to control conversation.
Like, I try, if the top is getting a little bit too heated and a little bit too almost attacking, I'll try and intervene.
Yeah, let's keep it funny. I used to try to reply and joke, and I at a certain point, some people are just crazy. It's just, so I'm like... So, yeah, I tried to make it fun, and you're not.
That's it. I mean, I love talking with anybody when it comes to the things that I love, or Superman or comics or any form of escapism. When somebody wants to come in, though, and attack somebody else for liking something, it's like somebody coming to your page saying, oh, I love your crypto artwork. It's fantastic. And then someone else saying, you shouldn't like it. It's not the crypto that I know. And it's like, well, don't yuck somebody's yum, they say.
Yeah. You know? Or they'll like, if you do something of a movie that like, not necessarily even this movie, but something, and they're like attacking the movie, and I'm like, put the art, right? Like,
yeah.
At least some people will be negative and go, but I like the art. I'm like, okay,
fair enough. You can stay.
Fair enough for you, my
you
friend.
You can stick around. Howie,
because I didn't make any of these movies.
But no,
like,
but
I don't control. I don't control.
You may
decisions,
not,
like,
but without knowing it, you have become a huge part of the marketing for this film.
Well, that's cool.
By people sharing your artwork and getting excited to see what's coming next. I know I'm not the only one that thought, oh, there's a new trailer coming out. I wonder what Howie does with this. Let's see what he does with that part. And it's great because people not only want to see more of the film, they want to see more of your artwork. That's why the artwork for this film has just been
that crypto
phenomenal.
Being on IMAX made my... That was a big one.
Yeah, I'm glad.
The fact that they put that in their little video out of the thousands they got. They probably
just
got
popped
hundreds
up.
Of thousands.
It was out of a big collage, wasn't it? And it just came out, and it was like, I know that artist.
Yeah, and their first marketing. Yeah, their marketing for that whole thing is they chose me of one of the three, and I happened to have a friend who captured it at the theater because that's special.
Big. That's very big. Yeah, see, you cool. Again.
James saw that one too.
The film was originally called Superman Legacy, and now you are part of that legacy of Superman. There have been, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of Superman artists and writers and creators. Right now, Howie, you are in that list, whether you like it or not. You are part of the Superman tapestry, as I like to put it. You are there, and there is not a more rightful person to be there, sir. Thank you for your time today. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a great chat. Now, a question that I do love to ask people towards the end of my podcast, and there's not a wrong answer to this, but Howie... What does Superman mean to you?
To me, he's inspiration. I have this photo I'll send to you. I have this photo when I was a little kid and I was sleeping. And my pillow is Superman. So it's a Neil Adams. I learned it's Neil Adams drawn Superman pillow. I still have it. Somehow it survived all those moves. It's inspiration. Of course, hope. It's always hope. And he's a reminder of being a good person is good. He's good. And that's what I like. I don't like... That's my version of Superman, where he's a good person. And a goal to live up to. And aspire to be a little nicer. And, you know, just be kind to people. So, I try to be kind. Try to be kinder, even to automated robots that answer your phone.
That's the real punk rock. That's the real punk rock, Howie. I love that. Howie, thank you so much for your time today. I can't wait to see what you do next, sir. And take care.
Thank you so much, Luke.